Hello, everybody, and welcome to a spooky episode 38 of Real Stories. As you can tell by the spooky nature of this episode, today I have three paranormal stories for you. So, with no further ado, let's get started. When I was young, I was a very awkward kid. I had a lot of difficulty making and keeping friends. I spent most of my time hiking outside of my hometown in the Angels National Forest. I lived with my grandmother in the town of Wrightwood. I would spend most of my nights out camping, claiming to be going on small trips with my Boy Scout troop, when in reality, I would just take my backpacking tent and find a nice secluded canyon to sleep in. Whenever I would sleep in the canyon, I would have strange but comforting dreams where my childhood dog, Shelby Lynn, would come find me in the woods, huddle up to my sleeping bag to stay warm, and I would talk to her throughout the night about my woes and my accomplishments. It's always felt surreal when I woke up and she wasn't there, so I tried to go back as often as possible just so I could see her again, all the way up until I turned 16. I stopped coming to the mountains as often because I was spending a lot of time with my girlfriend down in the high desert. One day, about a year into our relationship, I decided to take her hiking up to one of my favorite canyons. About halfway up the canyon, she slipped and badly twisted her ankle. It was swollen to the size of a grapefruit. I asked her to let me carry her back down or to let me tear a piece of my shirt off to use it as a sling, but she refused. So we continued down. About 10 minutes into our hike down, she said she saw something. I asked her what it was, and she said she didn't know. Just movement in her peripherals. Then, about 5 seconds later, something scared her so badly she almost fell again. I took her back home and we treated her ankle with a sling and a compression wrap. To this day, she still refuses to acknowledge what happened, and I think perhaps that's for the best. When I was 17, we eventually broke up. Her mother had gotten into an accident while drinking and driving, and she was forced to move in with her grandparents. We couldn't keep up the long-distance relationship. I continued going up to the mountains for 2 more relationships and 2 more years, but I never brought somebody up to the mountains with me during that time. I simply spent half of my free time with my boyfriend/girlfriend and the other half in the mountains, dreaming of my childhood dog in bliss. When I was 19, I met a girl who really understood me as a person. Foolishly, I thought that meant she might understand what was happening to me in those mountains. I told her all about my dreams and all about what happened to my first ex. She wanted to try to see for herself. We left at about 8 p.m. and arrived at the base of my favorite canyon at about 9 p.m. My then-girlfriend and I went hiking up with flashlights and some camping gear, hoping to spend the night. We spent a good 20 minutes setting up the site where I cleared all the flammables in a 5-foot radius and started cooking in my jet boil. We had some dinner, although I can't remember what we ate. I think it was just Uncle Ben's rice and some bread. Then we decided to walk around some more. About 20 minutes into this hike, she stopped dead in her tracks. She had seen something moving, just like my first ex. She looked at me and asked if I saw it too. I had not. She then took another look and let out a small whimper of a scream. She grabbed me and asked me to take her back to our camp so we could leave. Later, she described to me a scraggly, dark, long-haired dog that looked to be about as tall as her, 5'3", and covered in mange and forest debris. She told me it grinned at her, and that its mouth looked almost human. She begged me to never go up there again. She told me whatever was up there was not a friend, and that I should never let it into my life in the first place. I believed her at the time, but now, 5 years out of that forest and 1 year out of our rocky relationship, I miss the forest more than anything else. I miss my dreams, and I miss the feeling of ease and bliss that I got from being there. I want almost more than anything to go back there and spend a night, just to feel like that again. Safe, comfortable, and carefree. Should I go back? Maybe just for one night, or was she right? Is there something here that's dangerous? And if so, why has it never seemed dangerous to me? Why do I feel safest when I'm there? That was a very interesting story. So it sounds like our author was seeing a kind of dream spiritual vision for himself involving a dog whenever he went up to this mountain. However, when he tried to take others to enjoy his same vision and hope that they would experience something similar, if not the same one, it sounds like it had a weird consequence. So it starts off with our author, and they're talking about how they like to hike a lot. So he liked going up to these canyons because he would just be very relaxed, and he would have a dream where he would have a childhood dog with him, Shelby Lynn, and the dog would come and find him in the woods, huddle up in his sleeping bag to stay warm, and he would talk to his dog at night about his problems and his life, his accomplishments, his woes, everything. So it was kind of like a place where he could just go and relax. But when he started dating a girl, he tried to take her up there, and at first she falls and twists her ankle, which, you know, is just bad luck, unfortunate. But she said that she saw something very scary up there as well. And she said that she didn't know what it was, but that she saw it in like the peripheral vision. So she didn't get a close look at it, but it was something very scary. And it scared her so bad that this is after she had already sprained her ankle, she almost fell again. And to this day, she still refuses to acknowledge what happened. So him and this girl who saw this thing and experienced this bad luck when he tried to show it to her, they stop talking and they break up. A couple relationships and a couple years later, he is dating a girl and he tries to take her up to this canyon. So they're walking up there with flashlights and camping gear because they were, you know, trying to spend the night. So they made dinner at this campsite. And after eating dinner, they're about 20 minutes into their hike and his girlfriend stops dead in her tracks and said that she had seen something moving just like his girlfriend had seen. And then she looked at him as if, you know, are you not seeing this? But he didn't see it. So she then took another look and let out a small scream, and she grabbed him and asked her if they could leave. Now, fortunately for us, she describes what she saw and described it as a scraggly, dark, long-haired dog, as possibly as tall as 5'3", and it was covered in mange and forest debris. So this is a really interesting story because I don't exactly know what to make of it. This guy says that he always went up there and had these dreams of his childhood dog. But whenever he tries to go up there, he'll bring company and they'll see like an evil dog creature. So I don't know what to make of it. It sounds like almost what they want us to think is that it's the same dog from his dreams, but it's, I don't know if it's being protective of him or what's going on, but it shows itself in a very different way to other people. But maybe this is his spirit animal. Everybody's always talking unseriously about spirit animals, but maybe this guy's spirit animal is his dog. But either way, it is pretty creepy because if you see what's commonly referred to in the paranormal world as a hellhound, which are just like these demon dogs, those are normally very scary. A hellhound is a dog represented in mythology, such as that of ancient Greek or Scandinavian, as a standing guard in the underworld. So if you've ever seen Hercules, that big dog that was chilling with Hades, I believe that that would definitely classify as a hellhound. So just for a little bit of context, but a very interesting story, and I'd like to know what you guys think of it. We'll get back to more supernatural tales right after this word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey guys, it's really hard to go through life if something is weighing you down mentally. For years, I tried to get through life while suffering from anxiety and thinking that everything was normal. I just thought that this is just how I feel, and you know, it was pretty miserable. However, once I finally talked to a professional about it and I was able to get help, I'm doing so much better now. Honestly, it's a game changer. So if you think you might be feeling stressed, depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. And you can talk to your therapist in an online environment at your convenience. There is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched to a therapist in as little as 48 hours. You can then schedule video and phone sessions and exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. You can request a new therapist at no additional charge at any time. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/realstories. That's betterhelp.com/realstories, all one word. There's no time like the present to get your mental health in order, and it will vastly improve the quality of your life. Trust me. Now let's get back to the show. I live in a small town on Lake Superior. I've known of several supposedly haunted lighthouses around the area, but I was unaware of any activity in the lighthouse in the city that I live in. So I was pleasantly surprised when I heard they were offering paranormal tours of the lighthouse. I really didn't expect much to happen, but I decided that it might be fun for my wife and I to go. The first time we went was a pretty wild ride, but that story is for another time. Our crew got several intelligent responses via EVP recordings, but the second time was pretty neat. Long story short, it is believed that the spirit of a child resides at the lighthouse. There was a group of six of us, and we were all in the basement. One of the investigators leading the tour was trying to contact the child's spirit. A fellow tour goer had eagerly volunteered to lug around the SLS camera for the past hour and a half. I tried to carry around the box where spirits could pick out words, but right when I grabbed it, the voice said, "Wrong," and that was a huge nope for me. The tour was coming to a close without him noticing anything on camera at all. I was standing across the room from the man with the SLS camera when I noticed that the hair on my arms was standing on end and my skin was tingling. I went to say something to my wife, but before I could, she grabbed me and told me her opposite hand had gone ice cold. Seconds after, the guy across the room with the SLS camera called me over. I walked over to find that there was a small stick figure that appeared to be holding my wife's hand. The hand that she said was freezing. It wasn't like a flash and then it was gone. It stayed for several minutes. My wife would move over and it would show up again. The experience didn't feel threatening at all, though. I wasn't super surprised by this, as my wife has a really caring and compassionate energy about her, and her entire career involves caring for troubled youth. It would make sense for a child to be drawn to her. Ooh, that was a very mysterious story, I must say, because not only was the wife feeling the presence and she could tell that this little child ghost was holding her hand because it got cold, but they actually got a bit of evidence via this camera guy who had a special SLS camera, which I'm not too familiar with SLS cameras, but I'm assuming for the purposes of this haunted lighthouse tour that our author was on, that they are specialized in dealing with paranormal photography. So that's really cool. But so in this story, as I just mentioned, our author and their wife are taking a tour of a haunted lighthouse, which sounds super cool. So I'll have to check that out if I'm ever near Lake Superior. But in this case, there was a report that there was a child ghost in this lighthouse. And at one point, our author's wife feels the sensation of her hand getting cold. And at that same time, this cameraman is able to get a picture of a stick figure image of a little child, like the ghost, grabbing her hand, and that's why it got cold. And it getting cold in the presence of a ghost is not new, because in this paranormal world, it's usually the case that if a ghost is present, the room will get cold. And I really am not sure why that is, but it's really spooky and fascinating. Also, our author notices that the hair on his arms was standing on end and his skin was tingling. So he was also getting the feeling of something odd going on in the room. Not necessarily paranormal, but that something strange was going on to make his skin react like this. But then when you couple that with the fact that the wife's hand got cold and the SLS camera guy got that picture, it sounds like there is definitely a spirit that is at this lighthouse. And also, a theory that I was thinking about the other day was that ghosts are possibly just like glitches in the simulation. And I think it's low-key plausible because, you know, that would explain why sometimes they're in like black and gray and sometimes you only see them for a moment. Like, it's just like a lag. Just like sometimes they pop up in the simulation. Simulation can't be perfect. That's why occasionally they get weird things that don't make sense. So I don't know, but I thought that it was an interesting theory for sure. My mom passed in 2010. My younger sister was put as the executor for everything having to do with our mom. She was to take her dog named Gizzy. She was a mutt. She had wiry hair, no structure, and would not even go outside and pee. When we brought her home, my third son took to her. He said that he would clean up after her, feed her, walk her, you know, all the things a kid will say but never do. My wife and I did buy a cage. Because she would not pee or poop where she slept, we set up her food and water inside the cage, and it was not a box. It was literally a cage, complete with wire mesh. We put her up at night, and she was out in the morning, and we would walk around and go outside with the other pups and eat and drink. Then, when we left or we went to bed, she went back in the cage. The cage had a doggy bed, some towels. It was kind of a cushy comfort. This lasted for about 3 months, and my son was getting really attached to the dog. So I told my little sis that if she wanted Gizzy, that she had better take him now, because I was done with the back and forth. Yes, I will take her. No, I do not want to. You know how it is. At the 3 month mark, I told my son that she was his, permanently. Not going to his aunt's anymore. It's done. She is ours. He was elated, and I was happy to see him happy, and the poor thing needed a home. Win-win. Well, almost. I was working 3 on and 4 off, and then 4 on and 3 off, 12-hour shifts. So I was up at odd times, and my wife would fall asleep in the living room sometimes way before I was ready to go to bed. As a result, I would shut down the house and then get her ready to go to bed when I was ready. One night, I had shut down everything except the receiver. We have 5.1 Dolby. That old receiver had died long ago, so we were using a little Panasonic that we had gotten at Fry's. Well, everything was shut down except that receiver and a light, which went over the speakers, and I heard really fast, "Thank you for," and then slower, "taking care of," and then very clearly, "Gizzy for me." I was just dumbfounded. What the heck just happened? I tried to recreate it. I went up and checked the receiver, and it would not come on. I tried unplugging it, checked the fuse, reconnecting the wires, nothing from that day forward, and the speaker would not work. But its last message sent chills up and down my spine, and this is one of the reasons I know that there is life after death. Aw, that was a cute little story. See, this is my thing. Whenever people think paranormal, they automatically think scary and they get chills up their spine. But there are a lot of stories just like this one, where it's just a loved one letting somebody know that they are okay, or in this case, thanking them for something that they did. So in this story, our author is tasked with taking care of a dog. And this is not just any dog. This dog belonged to his late mother. And originally, his sister was going to take care of the dog after his mother had passed. However, once he took the dog home, just because they were kind of sharing the responsibility, his son really took a liking to the dog. And One of the things that I think is also interesting is that maybe the spirit from the mom had kind of went over to the dog, and that's why the son connected with it so much. That's also looking pretty deep into it. Maybe kids just like dogs. Also a very reasonable explanation. But in any case, they took care of this dog, and at one point, the author is getting ready to go to bed, so he's going around just making sure everything's turned off so he can go to bed. So at one point, he passes by an old receiver that had died long ago. And when he goes by this receiver, which had been shut down because it was not working for a long time, the light comes on, and over the speakers, he hears, "Thank you for," and then slower, "taking care of," and then clearly, "Gizzy for me." So, thank you for taking care of Gizzy for me. So, it sounds like a message from the other side, from his mother, thanking them for taking care of her beloved dog. And when you think about the message, it's not out of the realm of possibilities. It sounds like she would be grateful for somebody taking care of the dog. I don't think that that's a stretch. And it is known in the supernatural world that spirits can communicate through these different channels. A lot of people use CB radios for that and other radio stations. But in this case, she communicated through the receiver. And this really freaked out our author, obviously. You know, he tried to recreate it and just tried to make sure that the receiver was like plugged in or not plugged in. And there was really no rational explanation for this. However, with the context, I think we can all say that we knew what happened. The spirit of his mom contacted him and thanked him for taking care of their dog. So it's a really cute story, and it just goes to show you that not all paranormal stories have to be really scary. Some of them are very heartwarming, and I appreciate that. Alrighty, guys, that's going to do it for episode 38 of Real Stories. This week you have heard Ghost Child in a Lighthouse Held My Wife's Hand by Kales2233. Then, After My Mother Died, We Took Her Dog by Clink's Cousin. And finally, Spooky Doggo in the Woods by Knock the Dude. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors. And if you have a story that you would like to hear on the show, please email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com. And you can remain anonymous. Also, remember to go to betterhelp.com/realstories for 10% off if you're thinking about giving therapy a shot. And finally, if you liked what you heard, leave a review and tell a friend, because that's how the podcast will grow, if you tell a friend. So, thank you again, and I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Have a great rest of your week, and stay safe.